encore. We can do that one again. But could you do me a favor and thank all of our worship team and production team and all that sort of stuff? Thank you so much. They have worked so hard and for so long to prepare us. Now, if you're kind of new to church, you haven't been to church in a while, you're going, what did I walk into? Well, we love to celebrate here. I mean, and today is the day to celebrate. And I know that there's celebration goes on in this church and outside because this is a crazy Seahawk country world, right? And do you guys know who they are, right? And so even though I'm a 49er fan, and you may think they're dead, but three seasons later, watch out. Okay, just watch out. And we celebrate because it's worthy of celebration. We can celebrate a touchdown or when Sergio Garcia knocked it in the hole and everybody went like this. We can celebrate that God loves us and that he sent his son to come down here to die on the cross for your sin and mine. And then he said, no, death cannot stop me. 3 days later, here I am, proving that I was God, am God, and we can celebrate that. And we do that all the time. We do it every Sunday. In fact, we sing this song every single Sunday. No, I'm just kidding. We don't do that. But we sing a lot of songs because we're excited. We're excited. And we don't apologize for that. So what I'm about to tell you a little bit of story to begin with. Some of you lived through this, and you're going to go, yep, I remember that. And a lot of us only read about it in history books. See, it's the late 1960s, and it seemed like America was coming apart at the seams. And there's racial riots and racial tension, even stronger, more crazier than they are today. There was the drug epidemic was just everywhere in our country. And we were, our nation was reeling with some important people who had been assassinated. We're talking about our President Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, JFK's brother. And our nation was reeling. So in the late 60s, on a New Year's Eve night, a mom who's pregnant began to fear. She began to think about what kind of world is my baby going to enter? What kind of world is my baby going to have to live through? And she was just this gloom of darkness and fear. But because she was a believer in Jesus Christ, on that New Year's Eve night, she began to think about the resurrection. And the more she thought about Jesus rising from the dead, the gloom lifted, the fear subsided and disappeared. She took a piece of paper and a pen and started writing what became a song. A very popular song for many believers even till this day. Here's the chorus of the song she wrote on that New Year's Eve night. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living. Just because he lives. See, the resurrection of Jesus turned the world upside down. It changed my life forever and some of you in this room. It meant everything. I mean, there's been people who come and say, I'm a prophet, or I'm a priest, or I'm a rabbi, I'm a teacher, and then they die, and it's really thank you for coming, living, and giving us things, but they died just like everybody else. But God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to come to this earth, this nasty, dusty, pathetic, sinful earth. So God in a bod came here to die on the cross for your sin and mine. But then he came alive 3 days later. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow, no matter how dark tomorrow is, no matter how dark today is, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Now, over Easter, last couple years, I've shared some empirical evidence of Jesus. It's not just this blind leap of faith. A couple years ago, we looked at there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament that predicting the Messiah and what he was going to do and where he's going to be born and what's going to happen. He's going to be killed and he would rise again. And we all these hundreds of prophecies and for Jesus to meet every single one of them, the mathematical odds are just, it would be a miracle. But Jesus did, and we talked about how that we can put our faith and trust in the resurrection because of all the evidence. Last year we talked about, I don't believe that the resurrection happened just because it's in the Bible. I believe it because the eyewitnesses lived it, saw it, experienced it, and they wrote about it, and they gave their lives. I mean, who would die for a made-up story? That's why I believe. But I understand on Easter, there's out here and around the country and the world, it's like, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if I believe that. I'm not really into this whole thing. I'm just here for Easter because my wife or my mom wants me here, or I'm here for my kids. And I understand it sounds crazy. And it takes faith to believe this, right? Just be honest, right? It takes faith to believe this. And you may be thinking, you know, I can't go there because how can I put faith in something that just doesn't make sense? I mean, really, people don't rise from the dead. I've done a number of funerals and graveside services, and I have yet to have someone buried and see them in Costco 3 days later. It just has never, ever happened. And it's hard to believe, right? Can't understand it. It doesn't happen. How can I place my faith in something I don't fully understand? I get that. I understand that. But seriously, you and I place our faith in things that we don't fully understand all the time. See, I don't fully understand air travel. I really don't. I mean, think about it. A metal tube with wings filled with fuel. And you get in, and I never interviewed or met the pilots. I never checked their training. I don't understand flight, but by faith, I get on those things because of what it does for me, all right? I have a daughter here, a senior. I got two daughters in Virginia, and I can get on by faith, something I don't fully understand, put my life on the line to get in a metal tube with fuel and go across the country, and 6 hours later, I see my girls. All right? And you do the same thing. Do the same thing. And it's really by faith. And if you and I would go back 2,000 years ago and start telling anybody about flight and travel, air travel, and you say, yeah, you get into this tube and it has wings and it has fuel and you rocket it in the sky, and they go, what's rocket? Never mind. And you're launched into the sky, and in 6 hours you can be 3,000 miles away, and 18 hours later on the other side of the world, they're going to look at you and go, you need help. That's crazy. That is impossible. Well, the resurrection is impossible, but it's not if God's involved in it. It's not if God's involved in it. So today, this Easter, I'm not going to try to give you any evidence of prophecies or eyewitnesses. I like to share with you what the resurrection does for me, how it impacts me in my life. Several things. Because he lives, I have perspective. I have perspective about life, I have perspective about death, I have perspective about disappointments, I have perspective about things I don't fully understand, I have perspective about a God that I love and I serve but I don't get all the time. Because he lives, I have this thing called perspective. And where do I get that from? The words of Jesus. Jesus said this, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one that, say it, believes in me. I mean, you place your faith, place your trust in who I am, who I say I am, and then they find out later, I'm going to die on the cross and rise again. Whoever believes in me, Jesus says, will live. And this is the crazy thing. They will live even though they die. That makes no sense. But Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. Why? Because I live, you will live also. You place your faith and trust in God through Jesus and who he is, being the Son of God, you will live. And not only beyond, even though we die, but live better now and live with perspective. When life doesn't make sense, when you're faced with hard things, when you're faced with this thing called dying and death. The resurrection, because he lives, I have perspective. I have perspective. So a man went with his wife and his mother-in-law to Israel on a trip, on a vacation, on a tourist trip. And so they go to Israel, and while they're in the land and they're touring, The mother-in-law drops dead with a heart attack. Complete surprise, full of health, gone. They're in a foreign country. What do we do with the body? Oh my goodness, and all the emotions. So they meet with the coroner and ask what their options are. And he says, well, simply there's two options. Option one is we can take care of the body and ship it back to the States and take care of everything. That'd be about $5,500. The other option is really she can be buried here in the Holy Land, and we got a nice burial plot, and it's really only $250. So you have these two options. So what would you like to do? And the man said, immediately, ship her home. Ship her home. He goes, sir, do you really understand? I mean, that's a big cost, and there's a difference. He goes, hold on, look. 2,000 years ago, a guy died, and 3 days later, he rose again. I just can't take that chance. Perspective. On a serious note, real perspective hits us when death is in our face. Real perspective hits us and our priorities change and our thinking changes and we start thinking about beyond and what if and what next. Real perspective hits us full on when we're faced with this thing called death. And death is not a subject we like, we want to talk about, even though we watch lots of movies where lots of people die, but when it comes personal, like, we don't want to talk about it, we want to ignore it, put our head in the sand. But that's not reality. That's not reality. This past year, our church has had more funerals, and it seems like over and over and over again, this year than I can ever remember. And most of them are on a large scale, and blessing our community. We had a funeral that this place was packed as a family was burying their one-year-old son who had died drowning in an accident. We've had a funeral of a 78-year-old man in our church, loved by all. We've had funerals for mothers, for fathers. We even had a funeral of four in a family that were tragically murdered in our county. All kinds of funerals. And there is a different perspective when we know for sure if this person had faith in Jesus. And when someone's in a casket or their pictures are memorialized here and they did not have a faith in Jesus, they did not have assurance of faith in Jesus Christ, there's a different perspective than those who knew that this person had placed their faith and belief in Jesus. Now, in both situations, in both sets of funerals, there's tears, and there's sorrow, and there's sadness, and there's loss because death is separation. There's all those human emotions, but there is a different perspective. There's a different outlook. There's a different understanding of that this life is not all there is. There is something more, that this person, although we miss them, we love them, we grieve for them, but we don't grieve for those who do not have hope. Because there is more beyond this life. But without faith in Jesus Christ, there's loss, there's emptiness, there's despair, there's this was it, and there's nothing more. I'm pleading with you, because he lives, I have perspective. Because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you will live. And you'll live different here, but even though they die, they're going to live. Why? Because I live, you will also live. You will also live. So because he lives, I have perspective. Second of all, because he lives, I have this thing called peace. You can't put money on this. You can't purchase it. You have this thing called peace. See, with the right perspective, it leads to this thing called peace. And when Jesus was here and before he was arrested, before he died and all that, he sat his followers down, he sat his disciples down, and he told them what was going to happen. And he told them actually multiple times, and they didn't get it because they thought he was here to overthrow the Romans and set up the kingdom. And they're thinking, set up your kingdom. Hey, can I help? Can I be on your left, right? And they didn't get it, but Jesus told them clearly, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I will die. I will be killed. And 3 days later, I will rise again. And then I will go to my Father's house. But one day I will come back again. And Jesus was understanding this, unpacking this for their understanding. He said, I'm going to give you several gifts. And one of the gifts that Jesus promised to those who believe in him was this gift called peace. And he said this, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. I'm talking about those who believe in Jesus. I do not give as the world gives, because the world promises high and delivers low. The world gives and then takes away. He says, no, I don't give that way. Because I give you peace, do not let your hearts be troubled. You do not be afraid. You see, when we are faced with fear and scary things, things that are too big for us, and we don't know what to do, we feel afraid. But as believers, the peace of God comes and comforts us in a way that our friends and our family and no one can comfort us but God. This year I turned 52, and my daughters constantly remind me how old I am. And this birthday was different than the others. It's because my dad passed away at the age of 52. And that birthday, when I turned that number, it was emotional for me. And in 1990, when he passed away, and my mom's here with us today, I knew he was young, but I really experienced it this year how young he was. But in 1990, we were in his room at their house when his life, you saw it drain out of him, and he entered into the presence of God. He had a faith with Jesus. At 25 years old, on Valentine's Sunday, he trusted in Jesus as his Savior. And the pastor asked him, why are you here? He goes, you said I'm a sinner. I know that. You know, he just said it, and he trusted in Jesus. And in our moment of grief, with tears, with sadness, with a loss, and it still hits me today, and all the milestones in my family, when my kids were born, when my oldest daughter was married, he wasn't there physically. But in that room on that day, our family, who all know Jesus, we were saturated with peace. In fact, we did something crazy. It wasn't planned, it just happened. We started singing praise to God. How could you do that? I don't know. But we had this overwhelming sense of peace. Why? Because he will live again. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And although he may die, he's still alive, waiting for us. This year, a week ago last year was the hardest week of my life and my wife's life, because that was the week that I got that phone call. That phone call was from my doctor, my friend, who put us on, we put him on his speakerphone, not knowing what he was going to say. And what he said rocked our world when he said, Candy, you have cancer, and it is serious, and this cancer is very aggressive. And you hear it, and you go, is this real? And we're in a fog, and we hang up, and we're lost and confused, and we cry, and we're like, did this really happen? And didn't sleep that night, and we didn't tell our girls yet because we're trying to process. And then we wake up the next morning, and the phone rings, and it's the Cancer Institute of Seattle, and we're like, that's a commercial for other people. And now we're talking to them, and we have to, you know, it was like, we got to get into surgery, and we got to get rid of this, and we got to go do a PET scan, and it may be all through your body. And then we started doing research, and found out this is possibly stage 4, and you know it's serious when your doctor's crying, and they find out his office when they read the oncology report that they're all crying, and the diagnosis was prepare to leave. You don't have much time left on earth, and I'm mowing my lawn, and I'm lost. I ended up mowing it 3 times that day. because my brain was all over the place. My wife was thinking, will I be here for Kaylee's graduation? I see Kay. Will I be here for Holly and Kaylee's wedding? Will I be alive to see, be a grandmother? And I'm mowing going, am I going to be a widower at 51, 52? That was the first couple days. Fear, confusion. I don't understand. The question's why. But then God gave us what he promised, and the peace of God began to marinate our souls, and we began to, in the midst of confusion and fear, he comforted us, and we had his peace. And in the peace, we could say, you know what? If I live, praise God. If I die, praise God. That doesn't happen unless you believe in Jesus and have the peace that he promised you. In fact, Philippians played out in so many ways when Paul says this, that the peace of God, it goes, it passes all understanding. See, we're okay when we understand things, but we get lost and frustrated and even mad when we have a sense of, we don't understand. This doesn't make sense. Why would God do this? Why would God allow this? But the peace of God that only comes from God, we can't manufacture it, we can't conjure it up, but the peace of God moves past understanding. And that's what happened. And then the rest of the verse is this. This peace will guard your hearts. That's the emotion. That's the real emotion. That's the tears. And also will guard your minds. That's the, oh my goodness, what if? And what if this plays out? And what if we won't be able to see that and share that together? What if I'm a widower at 51? But the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That's exactly what took place. And on every step and surgery and follow-ups and this and that, we had the peace of God when it was dark, and we had the same peace of God when the last all-day test in November or December, of all these tests my wife took, and every test came back clear. And we praise God in the dark time and in the light when we didn't understand, we understood. And we can't, it's not us. It's because we believe, and because he lives, we have perspective. And because he lives, we have peace. Now, I had my notes for Easter all ready 2 weeks ago, ready to go, excited. I had no idea that God would add to my notes this week. And there was a chance I would not be back this week because my wife's sister, Shelly, has been facing breast cancer and going through several rounds of chemo and radiation. And they were at a point Monday to have breast cancer surgery and full mastectomy and pretty intense. And the full body scan in January said there was nothing else but right here, breast, take them out, and then begin the process. My wife was going to go down. Sister asked her to come this week and help her recover and all that. So she's ready to go. But then Tuesday, we find out there was complications with the surgery. There was internal bleeding. They didn't know what was going on. There were headaches, and they thought that was just because of the anesthesia. Because of the bleeding, they said we need to get her in for MRI. And the good news about the MRI was found on Wednesday morning that the bleeding was because of too much blood transfusion and there was leakage. But the bad news was is they found her entire brain is filled with cancer. It wasn't there a short time ago. So we went down there fast, not legally on I-5 at all times, to be there, and found out it's terminal and there's nothing they can do. And there's not much time left. But when we're in the room, Shelly, her husband Chris, their two kids, their son's wife, my wife and I, the oncologist was telling the news and the time. There was peace in that room because Jesus was in that room. And the calmest person in the room was Shelly. and telling the doctor, life's a gift from God and every day's a blessing, and no matter how long I live, we're going to live it to the fullest. And I don't want somberness, and I want to get out of here and go back to work and live my life. And she just had this peace. Were there tears? Yes, all of us. This only happened because he lives. I have perspective because he lives. You can have peace that can only come from God. But perspective and peace are anchored to something amazing. It's the third thing. Because he lives, I have hope. I have hope. And it's not the English definition of hope, like a wish, like I hope the Mariners finally make the playoffs this year. And actually, I'm praying that that would happen. God wants all prayers, so I pray. It's not that I wish something would happen. No, the Bible and the Greek definition, all the so expressive and so detailed. In the Bible, the hope is that God said it, it will happen. You can bank on it, you can guarantee it. It may not happen now, but it will happen. And all the blessings and all what's going to happen, that Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life, and you believe in me, you will live even though you die. Why? Because I live, you will live also. That's hope. That this life is not all there is. This life is a vapor. It's here, then it's gone. But there's more. There's more beyond. But what happens when we don't have hope? We are messed up human beings when we do not have hope in all areas of our life. See, if we don't have hope, we lack courage to keep trying. If you lose hope in your marriage, I can't try anymore. If your business is struggling, if you lose hope, you don't have courage to keep going and keep putting in an extra day and keep working hard. If you lose hope in all areas of our lives, I mean, we become paralyzed and we don't have courage. If we don't have hope, depression drags us deeper. Depression can hit all of us. I've been in that state before, but without hope, it just drags us deeper. Without hope, there's little to no strength to go on. Without hope, we quit dreaming of a better future. But with hope, totally different. With hope, we are released from our past. See, God doesn't chain us to our past. When we trust in him, we are released from our past. Old things have passed away, behold, all things are new. I mean, that's hope. That God doesn't look at you like, well, I don't know if I want you in my family. Because remember back that one Thursday in 2006, you know, and you were on spring break. I know what you did. No, God says, you trust in me. I forgive all of your sins. And we are released from our past. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right? With hope, it gives us courage to overcome pain. Overcome fear. Overcome crazy pain. Incredible fear. And as God gives us this, we can't do it. We're paralyzed. But the hope that God gives us courage to take another step, live another day. And God says all through Scripture, I will carry you through the dark waters. I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's hope. With hope, it sets us free to dream. I'm struggling now. It's jacked up now in my life. But you know, I can still dream because of hope. And because of hope, it is the fuel. It is the fuel for a better future. And we're talking not just this life. I'm not looking for this life. I'm looking forward, you know, for all the things. But my hope is not in this life. This world, if you haven't noticed, is messed up. It is fallen. It is broken. But I can dream of what the Bible says about heaven. And heaven's not, and we had a whole series on this in December, and you can go on our website and listen or watch them all. Heaven gives us hope. We're not going to be floating on clouds and playing harps. That is lame. That's not in the Bible. There's all sorts of things that are waiting for us in heaven. And if you understand that, you get excited. And our church got excited, and they kept saying, this gives me hope. This gives me hope. Right, because God promised it, and it will happen. Heaven is awesome. We can dream for a better future. It's the fuel. Because he lives, we will also live there. In fact, I just heard a story from my mom last hour between services. She says that there's a man in my church, that church I grew up in, was driving along the road in San Jose, California, and there was a hitchhiker. And he pulls over. I'm gonna be a good Christian. I'm gonna help somebody. And he lets this guy get in the car. And while he's driving, before he could say, hey, where do you need to go? The dude pulls a gun on him and says, give me all your money. And this man, who's a believer, looked at him and said this, you're threatening me with heaven? And the guy didn't know what to do, and he puts the gun back away. And the driver's like, now, where would you like to go? And he took him there. Isn't that awesome? Because, why? Because, really? I'm ready now. Did not know how to handle it. You can't do that without hope. Peter writes this. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. I mean, it's real, it's alive, it's growing. It's a living hope through what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, 3 days later, changed everything. Absolutely everything. Because he lives, I have perspective. Because he lives, I have peace. Because he lives, I have hope. I have hope. In the Middle Ages, Europe had lost hope to ever find a safe passage to India with all the treasures and spices and everything. And they tried up and down the coast, and they tried to go around the southern tip of Africa. And at the southern tip of Africa, there was a convergence of the Atlantic Ocean and the Indian Ocean, and there was like massive storms all the time. And ship after ship after ship crashed, people died, or ship gets in the storm there, it's too crazy, and they turn back and go back north. And the tip of the bottom tip, southern tip of Africa was called the Cape of Storms, because that's what happened. Unpassable. Until the 16th century, a Portuguese sailor named Vasco da Gama kept going. And he kept going through the storms, and he made it to the other side, and on the other side, the waters were calm, and it was safe passage to India. And they changed the name from Cape of Storms to the Cape of Good Hope. Death was is the all-time Cape of Storms. We don't like to talk about it. We hate to face it. We want to ignore it, but every single one of us will face it. And it's a stormy, it's scary, and people are paralyzed. But Jesus Christ sailed through that storm, went to the other side, conquering death, and rose 3 days later, and it's now called the Cape of Good Hope. He gives us hope that this life is not all there is, and we can trust in him, and we'll get through any storm, and he will be with us. We love what God's doing at our church. We're just real people with real problems, but point people to a real Savior. We're not here for religion. We're not here for tradition. We're here to point people to Jesus that changes people's lives and their stories and their past and gives them freedom only found in Christ. And there's a story we showed on video about a month ago. And in fact, it was so good, I'm like, I'm going to show it again. So if you were here a month ago, act like you've never heard it before. But it's so good you want to see it again, if you're new. It's a story of Jen, and she doesn't go into much detail, but her life growing up filled with pain and despair and heartache, and she was in this continual search for happiness in all the wrong places and did not find it until she met someone at work who was a believer in Jesus, and everything about her was different. She was drawn in, she was attracted to, what does she have that I don't have? She came and met Jesus. She has new perspective. She has peace for the first time. And listen at the very end, she talks about the hope that she has. Here's Jen's story.
Hi, my name is Jen.
And I am Julie.
And this is my story. Growing up, I had very low self-esteem, and I was desperately searching for love and acceptance. Although I had grown up in the church, I had come to a point where God was no longer involved in my life. I struggled very much so with depression and substance abuse and suicide. And all through going through, you know, the sin and despair, I was searching for something that would make me happy, if only for the moment. And I was still left wanting. I was never satisfied. and I had basically created a life for myself that was void of hope and happiness. And then in our office, we had a new hire, and her name was Julie. And it got to be where we were talking late at night, and we had started talking about God. And just the way that she talked about God, I mean, her face just lit up from within. You could tell. She was just talking about, you know, love and life and happiness, and it was just a different way with her. And I saw that, and I was like, this is what I'm missing in my life. I don't have that in my life.
And we became friends pretty quickly, just from our personalities. And the more we became friends, the more I got to know Jen, and the more she kind of confided in me just where her heart was. And I just had just sensed the despair, a lot of unhappiness, and just ultimately, you know, I could just tell that she was lost. As we started to talk about just the struggles and things that she had gone through, again, I just sensed that loss in her, and just reached out and said, Jen, you know, come to church. Come to church just one time. And I promise not to bug you anymore. Just one time. Come with me one time. Be my plus one. And she begrudgingly accepted.
Started going to Grace Point Church with Julie. And, you know, was still very lost, still didn't really know where or how or what I needed to do to bring about some peace into my life and bring happiness into my life. And so, you know, I'm praying to God, you know, and I'm saying, please, God, you know, please just make me happy. Whatever I have to do, just please make me happy in this life. And, you know, Julie kind of nudges my arm and she goes, you know, Jen, you can't pray for peace, or you can't pray for happiness. You have to pray for peace. And, you know, I just kind of looked at her like, and it hit me, you know. Here I am in church and God has been listening to me this whole time, and he's never given up on me. And that's when I knew in my heart, I have to surrender to Christ. I have to surrender so that I can have that peace in my life and I can have that happiness, and that only comes through surrendering to Christ.
We text each other every morning. Okay, what time are we going today, 9 or 11? So, and wow, what a change. What a change in her. She just has this light now, and she just has this joy and this smile that just, I just know that God is in her heart, and he's doing wonderful things. And I just love her.
So a couple months later, on October 19th, Pastor Barry challenged us to go public with accepting Christ in our life, and that we could be baptized that morning. And I just kind of looked at Julie, and I was like, you know, I felt this fire burning within me. I wanted to do it so badly, and I'm not necessarily the type of person to just jump up in a room full of people I don't even know and do something, but I just couldn't shake it. You know, it was truly the Holy Spirit in my life just calling me, and I just looked at Julie and I was like, we gotta do this.
We're doing it.
We're doing it.
We're doing it.
Since I've accepted Christ into my life, you know, it's more peace and hope and happiness than I could have ever brought forth on my own through the self-destructive behavior that I was doing. And, you know, I still see the light and the love in other people. I see God in other people, and I'm still attracted to that. We're told that we are the rescued, called on by Christ to be rescuers of others. And I want others to know that there is a life of hope, and there can be love, and there can be happiness in your life. You just have to accept Christ. And, you know, it's really scary to think of a life without hope. But thanks to God, I know I'll never have to live another day without it.
Wow, a life without hope. But thanks to Christ, I will never live without hope again. I believe on a Sunday morning, that's somewhere in those back sections, she prayed a prayer of salvation to trust in Jesus. Then a couple months later, she was baptized. It's not, they're not tied, they're separate. Baptism is I'm going public, that I trusted in Jesus. And I identify with the death, the burial, and resurrection. And we celebrate that. We go crazy here. But on that day when she believed in Jesus, who was the resurrection of life, she began to really live. She lives now with perspective. And just talking with her, she's not the same woman. She lives with peace. She lives with hope. I want that for every one of us in this room. And I'm not ashamed to say I want you to have a relationship with Jesus. I'm not saying I want you to have religion and get involved in tradition. No, a relationship with Jesus, because only Jesus, not a church, not anything else, good works, only Jesus will change your life. And you will live. And even though you die, you will live again because of Jesus. And I can't tell you this and then say, well, thank you for coming. Happy Easter. I got to give somebody, and I know there's someone in this room that needs to today trust in Jesus and believe in what he did on the cross, and he rose again for you so that you can live. I got to at least give you an opportunity to pray. If every head would be bowed, if your eyes closed, I'm going to get a chance to give you a prayer of salvation. They're not magical words. It's just from your heart to God's. Acknowledging this, if that's your desire, you can pray something like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and my sin separates me from you. But today, I believe, I place my faith in, I believe in Jesus, that he died for my sins, and that he was buried and rose again, proving he was indeed God. Today, by faith, I believe in Jesus. Be my Savior. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'd just love to know. I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to have you put your hand up. That today, I prayed that prayer. I trusted in Jesus. I would love to know. In every service, we had a number of people who, for the first time, believed in Christ today. So on the count of three, no one looking. I'd just love to see how many of you prayed that right this morning. One, two, three. Put your hand up. Yes, yes. Dozens and dozens. Yes. You're not believing in a religion. You're believing in a person, in God the Son, Jesus. Thank you. Beautiful. We've been praying for you for months. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Now God wants you to grow. That's why we come to church. We grow of learning more about Jesus, learning more how to live. And that's why we're going to start a marriage series next week, because God's word has help for us to have a great marriage if we do it his way. God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for drawing people to yourself. Thank you for in every service people said, today I believe. By faith, I believe I place my faith in Jesus, the resurrected Savior. So Lord, we give you thanks and praise. And thank you for all that you give to us, your grace, your forgiveness, your perspective, peace, and hope. Lord, it's all from you. Thank you. Take these people who prayed today and trust in you. Draw them to now. Let's grow. Let's learn. Let's understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Thank you for this day and what it represents. I pray this in the name of Jesus and all the power associated with his name, I say, amen. Can we thank God for those who trusted in him today? Amen. Because he lives. Because he lives.